You know, a lot of people will judge people. They don't know anything about them. They just judge based on what they think or what the media tells them. But they really don't know what's going on with that person. A lot of times I think you wouldn't judge as many people if you actually knew them. And the way I know that is because we get judged a lot. And I'm like thinking if they really knew us, they wouldn't pass that kind of judgment. But that's just the way it is. You're going to be in this life with God, be on the front lines. There's going to be persecution. Got to deal with it. If you are called to full-time ministry, here is one thing you will need more than anything. Rhino hide. You're going to have to get some rhino hide because you're going to be loved and hated. And then there'll be the dislike in between. People come to you, I don't know why, I just don't like you. You can get upset with somebody and you don't even know what you're up to. They haven't even done anything to you. You get upset because somebody else is upset. Spirits transfer. Did you know that? There's been a ton of people who have gotten upset because what somebody else said. I'm like, if you really knew the truth. There are people that still believe lies to this day. They do. They believe something somebody told them. And I'm like, it's not even the truth. But sometimes they want to believe what the person told them. Got to watch what people say. That's why it said receive not an accusation against an elder. You don't receive accusations. Because a lot of times it may not be true. You might be believing something that somebody conjured up. Amen? Because somebody needs to hear that because you're listening to something, probably not God. Hallelujah. Got to watch who you listen to, what you listen to. Amen. And get some rhino hide. If you get offended every time the wind blows, you're not going to make it very far. When they hurt my feelings, trust me, there's going to be a whole line of people that are going to hurt your feelings in this life. Especially in church. If any one of these full-time ministers stop ministering because somebody hurt their feelings, I promise you. Has anybody hurt your feelings? All the time. You just deal with it. You get rhino hide, it bounces off of you. If you don't have any rhino hide, you suck it in. You become a stellar black hole that you suck all the offenses of life in. And you walk around offended all the time. You can't help somebody that's going to get offended every other week. Because why? As soon as we get that off, you're going to get offended again. Jesus said the mark of a mature man is when Peter asked, how many times do I got to forgive? He said 490 times in a day. How about that? 490 times a day. I can't forgive 490 times in my lifetime. You got to forgive. Then he says, love your enemies. Oh, brother, that'll open it up. Love your enemies. Do good to those. So bless those that despitefully use you. Anybody using you? Bless them. I promise you, the last thing you want to do is bless somebody that's despitefully using you. That's not easy to do. And the more you bless them, the more they keep acting like that. You think because you're blessing them, they're going to change. You're blessing them because you're going to change. Because it's your heart that he's dealing with. Somebody's going to have to represent the situation. And God needs somebody to stand there. Isaiah 53. Hallelujah. This is the substitute. Substitution in identification chapter, very powerful. Verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and we did esteem him stricken. Now, that word of griefs and sorrows, actually, sure, he has borne our sickness and carried our pains. If you look in the Hebrew, he bore our sicknesses and carried our pains on the cross. That's where he bore the sickness of humanity. In fact, the centurion looked upon him and said, this must be the Son of God. And it says his visage was marred more than any man, and his form the sons of men. It wasn't the beatings that caused his visage to be marred more than any man. It was the law of sin and death that came upon him when he became an offering and caused him to contort. The law of sin that corrupted the entire face of the earth, corrupted his body, where his visage was marred more than any man. And he said, surely he has borne our sicknesses and carried his pain. You can imagine every sickness and disease in the world was laid upon him. Simultaneously, at one time, he became our offering. That's why you have a covenant of healing. Because of what he purchased for you. Amen? You should really get in the substitution. Because everything Christ substituted for, he inherited for you when he ascended into the right hand of God. So if he substituted his body and bore your sickness and pain, guess what he did with them? Buried them. Buried all the sickness and the law of sickness and disease and sin and death. He buried that in baptism. He said, verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Now, look at this. The chastisement of our peace, Hebrew is actually our lack of peace, was upon him, and with his stripes, we are healed. Well, if he bore the sicknesses and disease on the cross, then what kind of healing was there in the stripes? Because that was a different type of atonement. Because the sickness and disease was born on the cross. But the stripes were also bearing an atonement for us. That's what he's dealing with today, actually. If you go to Deuteronomy 25, I want to show you this. Go to Deuteronomy 25. What were those stripes about? But you know what? The enemy has no authority to live in a state of an offense, aught, bitterness, or betrayal in your life. He doesn't have the authority. Although we give him the authority, he does not have the authority to reside. You know how many people, when they get betrayed, will carry a betrayal for 20 years? They'll carry it into the next relationship. You'll see people get married and get betrayed, and they'll carry that right into the next one, and another one, and another one, and another, because they're carrying something that's never been broken until it gets severed. You're constantly dealing with the fruit of something, not the root. Christ deals with roots. Deuteronomy 25, verse 1. If there be a controversy, if there be strife, if there be division, if there be issues that you need tissues, not if there be, when there be. Between men, ladies, you're in that one too. Now, who wants to be under the law? Do I have any takers? Let me tell you how it was like under the law. Under the law, if you had strife, you didn't get to go to Sozo. You didn't get to go to Sozo to handle your situations. You went before a panel of judges. Because it was stringent under the law. Because you know why it was so stringent? Because God was dealing with men with a spiritually dead nature. And he had to corral that nature through stringency. Just like sometime with children. Rebellion's bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it out. But sometimes you got to deal with nature stringently. But God doesn't lead us that way anymore. Hallelujah. Because he changed our nature. He deals with us as sons. We've got a new nature, and he works with a new nature now. That's why he's not so stringent. It's called grace. Because Christ paid the price. Isn't that good? Now, he said, if there be a controversy between men and they come under the judgment, the judges may judge them. And when they shall justify the righteous and condemn the wicked, somebody is going to pay the price. That's why you think twice about strife. or controversy under the old. When somebody comes in whispering an accusation, you got to think twice about that. So I don't know if I want to go before the judges. I don't know if I would want to be a judge. I'd like you to be a judge because you're going to about to execute a penalty on somebody for a controversy. Look what happened. And it shall be that the wicked man be worthy to be beaten for controversy, that the judge shall cause him to lie down and be beaten before his face. Wow. According to his fault by a certain number, 40 stripes he may give him and not exceed. Wow. Lest if he should exceed, he be beat above these with these stripes. You can get up to 40 stripes for controversy under the law. Who wants to go under that one? Not me. I'm good with the new covenant. I'm good with grace. But see, Jesus had a remedy even for that. Because he said, I will stand in the judgment seat of all controversy, of all strife, of all division, of all betrayal. I'll stand in the seat of controversy and I will bear the punishment. I'll take all of it. Though I am innocent, I'll take the punishment. I will bear the stripes and the chastisement of my lack of peace, of you and I lack of peace, was laid upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Say healed. That's why betrayal, unforgiveness, resentment, bitterness of what somebody has done to you in this life doesn't have the authority to stick. Because Christ already bore it. That is good news. That's why when there's controversy, it doesn't have the power to stay upon a believer. It doesn't have the power to harbor inside you. Because God knew when controversy began in the ranks, it doesn't stop with the one controversy. It starts multiplying. You think about somebody you've had a major controversy with in life. Think about somebody you've had a controversy. How long did that continues and continues? And other people get brought into the controversy. Psst, come here. Psst. Let me tell you what this person has done. Psst, let me tell you. And sometimes you're believing something that's not even true. Sometimes you're legitimately wounded. Somebody wounded you. You're going to have to learn to appropriate your inheritance in this area because you cannot afford to continue having these things because the enemy will compound the fracture. He creates the fracture in the heart and he'll compound it over and over and over again. The way he gets you cut off, separated, you can't receive. Where it's even hard to be around society or people. Because of what somebody's done for you. And all the time the Lord bore that punishment. He stood in the seat so that thing that keeps trying to harbor in you doesn't have the power to nest up in there. Kick it out. Kick that nest out. What do I do? I'm glad you asked. Because what normally happens in the midst of these things, division, controversy, strife, betrayal. Even Christ, you don't think he went through? He said, my own familiar friend lifted his heel against me. He prophesied in Psalms. He knew the day Judas. Why do you think the Lord washed their feet? You think that was just a religious foot washing service? Go over there. John 13. Why do you think? You think foot washing? What do you think that was? Just a religious service? Did we just do that? Everything the Lord did, he had a purpose for doing. Do you know when he washed the feet of his disciples, he was only washing one's foot? Did you know that? There was only one that he was washing, though he washed everybody's feet. He said, you're all clean. I'm only washing one of your feet. Look at verse 2, John 13. Some of you might get free by the end of this service. Some of you might get free of a 20-year harboring nest of issues that should have been gone 20 years ago. Verse 2, and supper being ended, and devil and having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. So betrayal's in the heart of a disciple. He's going to set the betrayal. This betrayal was prophesied in Psalms 41. He says, my own familiar friend lifted his heel, say heel, against me. He knew he was going to do it. He's about to do it right now. And so what does the Lord do? He recognizes the time of betrayal has come. It's going to cost his life. This betrayal is not one you're going to get to carry around. This one's going to cost his life, and he knows it. And he knows the person that's going to do it. And what does he do? Out of Psalms 41 said, my own familiar friend. Now, he was his friend. He said he lifted his heel against me. This heel was going to cost his life. But Christ willingly surrendered to the betrayal because he was going to bear you and I's betrayal. And it's going to cost us his life. He bore our controversy. He bore our betrayal. He bore it all. That's why under our dispensation and covenant, there is no force capable of staying and harboring within you unless you want it there. You can be free. Marriages can be free. Relationships can be free. In verse 4, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water in the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wiped them with the towel. And he cometh to Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, dost thou not wash my feet? Dost thou wash my feet? And he said, what I do, you do not know now what I'm doing. They didn't know what he was doing half the time. Could you imagine running around with Jesus, him introducing the new covenant? His own disciples didn't know what he was talking about. Did that stop him from administering truth? He kept doing it anyway. Sometime the whole disciples would leave him because he'd say something. And he looked at his 12 and said, you going to leave me too? He did not stop because he knew the Holy Spirit would reveal truth. Even though they were gagging on it in the beginning, they couldn't chew it. It was too heavy. It's all right, just keep chewing. Sometimes things are too heavy. Keep chewing. You'll end up liking it after a while. You'll develop an appetite for it. Milk won't do it anymore. You get exposed to good meat, milk will not work for you. No more. You'll start seeing things because your senses will get exercised to discern. You'll start recognizing things and say, ah. You'll start seeing things. If I get on that path 5 years from now, it'll produce nothing. You'll start recognizing paths that put in front of you, and you'll start discerning which path you go on. Just because it looked good don't mean I'm going to jump on it. Because I don't know where I want to be if I get on that path 5 years from now. What am I going to look like? Hallelujah. See, pours water. He said, Peter, you don't know what I'm doing now, but you will know hereafter. And Peter said to him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Don't you love Peter? God, you got to love him. Jesus answered, if I wash thee not, you have no partner with me. He goes, all right, Lord, not my feet only, my hands, my head. Wash, here I am. Wash me, Lord. You got to love his zeal. Problem with zeal will get you a lot in trouble. It will get you out of the boat. Religion will never get you out of the boat. Zeal will, but it'll also get you in a lot of trouble. You have that accompaniment with wisdom and zeal is what you're really looking for. You got to have enough zeal to bypass religion and enough wisdom to keep you from making all the mistakes. I'm learning. It's taking a long time. Praise God. Hallelujah. He said, wash me all, Lord. Jesus said, he that washeth needed to save, wash his feet, but's clean. Now knows what he said, but you're already clean. Peter, you're clean, but not all. Not all of you are clean. You're clean, Peter, but I'm washing the feet for a demonstration here. I'm washing the feet because there's only one that's unclean here. And what I do, you don't know now, but you're going to know hereafter. For he knew, look at verse 11, you're not all clean, for he knew, watch this, for he knew who would betray him. See that? Therefore, he said, you're not all clean. So whose foot was he washing? Whose feet? Judas's feet. What was he washing? He knew that that heel was about to be lifted up against him. It was going to cost his life through a sovereign act of forgiveness. He said, I will forgive you. And I will wash the betrayal before you do it. Before you betray me, I'll wash you of it. And if you could receive the forgiveness, Judas would be in heaven today. His own guilt wouldn't allow him to receive it, but Christ forgave him before he did it. He said, you're about to take my life, but I'm going to wash you of the betrayal before you do it. Peter, you don't know what I'm doing, but you're going to know hereafter. When you see me on the cross, you'll know what happened. That's why betrayal doesn't have the authority to stick. The reason I have a story to stick or to harbor or to nest up into your life. The reason why, whether it's a business betrayal, family betrayal, husband, wife, ministry betrayal, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have the authority to harbor or nest. This world you live in is not fair. Christ paid the sovereign penalty of betrayal. He paid it. Next time you think about what you're harboring, it's already been paid for. It doesn't have the authority to stay there. It'll pass over to him because he buried it in his death. If it already fulfilled its mission once, what's it doing trying to fulfill its mission again in you? Because he didn't do that for himself. He did it for you. And say, Father, I loose it this day. I release it this day. I release. That's why he said, if you cannot forgive a man his trespasses, neither can the Father forgive your trespasses. And then some Yahoo preacher comes along and says, if you don't forgive, you ain't making it to heaven. That is not what he was talking about. You can have a state of unforgiveness where God cannot come and fellowship with you and can't bring the kingdom through you because you got unforgiveness and trespasses, but it has nothing to do with your salvation. A trespass, by the way, is unforgiveness, resentment, betrayal that's never been dealt with. Creates the trespass. And once you have the trespass, you're marked. You got a design for every foul spirit and unclean bird to show up in your life. Because you're wearing your past. You're wearing what happened to you. And it gives them the authority. That's why someone who gets hurt keeps getting hurt. And they wonder, how come I keep attracting these people? You ever seen somebody, woman or man, they get into one wrong relationship after another, because it's attracting. Because they got a trespass that's never been dealt with. And they won't recognize it. Because they're harboring it. And the enemy has authority to attract himself to that. As a man thinketh in the domain of his heart, so is he. Your heart will attract good or evil. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart will bring forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure. It's what's going on in here. You got to keep this place clean. In fact, you're not going to birth the kingdom. You can't even receive the kingdom. You're blockaded if you have this stuff happening like that. You got to be free. If you cannot forgive a man his trespasses, God cannot forgive yours. Trespass has to be loosed from your life. It has to be broken. In fact, today we're going to pray that God break some trespasses. Trespass is not that one-time thing. Trespasses are things that hang on. Amen? They harbor and they stay and they stick, and it can happen. Somebody just ramrodded you with words over and over and over again until a trespass got in there. That's why it says you don't forgive from your heart. Here's what we do. I forgive, I forgive, I forgive, I forgive. It's not going to work like that with a trespass. You're going to have to forgive from the heart. You're going to have to get up in there where it's at. That's why sozo is so effective, because it gets up inside there to where it's dwelling. I'll tell you another good way to handle this, because I'll tell you when you're praying, how many when you're praying somebody comes up in your prayer life over and over again? And you think and you dwell and your thoughts are not really positive towards them. So you got that right there. I'll tell you one of the great ways to deal with that. One of the ways the Lord showed me is you represent them at the throne of grace. Come boldly to the throne of grace and you bring that person with you. They're with you whether you know it or not. You carrying people around with you. You carry that stuff up inside you and it attracts all manner of stuff. That's why you see somebody that's totally been bruised and betrayed, you will not see prosperity in their life and fullness because it shut the kingdom down. Because the Father, because if you cannot forgive that man of his trespass from the heart, your Father can't forgive you and you're going to live in a state of unforgiveness and the kingdom can't come through you. The Holy Ghost can't do anything with you. Because you're locked up. You're plugged up. I'm telling you, I'm talking to somebody that you've tried to forgive in your mind. You know what? I forgive. But you're trying to do this here. This is where it's happening right here in the heart because the trespass is bound into the heart. That's why the Lord said, you're not getting in me. I'm going to wash this thing before you do it. And I'm doing this as an example. What I have done to you, do unto others. It doesn't mean you pull out a basin every time someone, because most people, you ain't going to be able to wash their feet anyway. But you can wash their feet before the throne of grace. Are we humble enough to represent them? Are we humble enough to represent somebody that's bruised and wounded? If you got somebody and you're praying, are you walking around and that person is always there? It's always on your mouth. You can't help but just talk about them. You know what I mean? 3 weeks later, still talking about them. Their name gets mentioned. And say, well, let me tell you what I think about that. I got a few things to add to that. Let me up in here. You got to trespass. Trespass will hurt you. That's why he said, even in the Lord's Prayer, when you're making all these kingdom transferences, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. But if you have forgiveness. If you stand praying and you have trespass against another, forgive. He said, forgive. He said, in fact, he said, whatever you loose will be loose. Whatever you bind will be bound. Those are part of the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you loose upon the earth will be loosed in heaven. You can bind somebody. You'll bind your call down. And it opens you up for more. And one of the things the Lord taught me is you bring them up before the throne of grace and you wash their feet at the throne of grace and you speak goodness over them and you speak love over them and you bless them. And it's going to be very dry when you first try to do that because the last thing you want to do is bless somebody that you're carrying and harboring something. And you bring and I forgive them from the heart, Lord, and I bless them. Sometimes it's going to take more than one time to say, and I forgive them. I promise you it's going to take more because that stuff is locked up in you and it's bound real tight. And just because you say that with your mouth, you got to forgive from the heart. If you do that at the throne of grace and ask God's grace, why grace? Why the throne of grace? Because Christ purchased already the forgiveness. He bore the stripes, the chastisement of your lack of peace. That thing being harbored was laid upon him. By his stripes you're healed. I ask for your grace of healing. You already bore the punishment. You already washed the feet of betrayal. I wash this person's feet in Jesus' name. I receive the grace of healing for both of us. You represent that situation until the love of God breaks through and breaks that trespass. And when it breaks it, you are whole. You are healed. Because in this life, the devil is going to see through it to somebody that's going to betray you. If you have been betrayed in this life, raise your hand. I rest my case. It's the way it is. Ministry, you don't get an option of quitting when someone betrays you, even though you want to quit. You don't get the option of stopping because somebody hurt. You have to keep going. Sometimes you got to stand up here with seven swords in you. But after a while, I got good news. You can stick them in my front. You can stick them on my side. You stick them in the back because it don't hurt me. I got rhino hide. After a while, you just get immune. I'm not saying numb. I said immune. Some people are just numb because they're hurting so much. Immunity is say what you will. It'll probably just fall off. It's a difference. Amen. But you got to appropriate that inheritance. The chastisement like a peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes you are healed. But you got to appropriate that. You got to get before him and receive that healing and understand that he gave his back for you, for that situation, so you don't have to carry that injustice around. He washed the feet of the betrayer, and he died the penalty of it. He already died in your place. He died in your place. Amen. That's why you can love, because you can receive his love for the situation, because he's going to give it to you freely if you'll seek it. He'll give you his love. That's why you could hate somebody and be in love with them the next day when the love of God comes pouring through. Amen? Because you get all that stuff out, and more importantly, the kingdom will start moving through. Got to have a free flow of the kingdom. Amen? One more verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. It says, now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that you come together for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you. I hear there be controversies among you. And I partly believe it. Paul, you do not have to partly believe that at all. But actually, this church is pretty good. This message worked real good in the past when there's a whole lot of this, but there's a whole lot of unity going on right now. But God wants it just zipped up. Obviously, he changed this to talk to somebody, amen? Because he wants to get the stuff out of your heart, because God is fixing to unload some heavy stuff here. He says, I partly believe it. There must be also heresies among you. And he starts talking about the Lord's Supper. In verse 23, he said, I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, same night in which he was betrayed. Why is he talking about betrayal in the middle of a communion message? You ever thought about that? Why is he bringing up betrayal in the middle of a communion message? We're going to take communion from the heart today. I'm going to pray for you in a minute. You know, truth will set you free. Once you know the truth, you can appropriate truth. It'll set you free. Once you recognize what's living and festering and harboring up inside of you, nesting up in there, don't have the authority to live there anymore, you'll drive it out. Amen? For I received with the Lord, delivered to you the Lord Jesus, same night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat of this, my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then the cup. This is the cup of the New Testament of my blood. This do as often as you drink in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he's come. You show the Lord's death. My body was broken. Remember. Remember this night. For I'm about to give my body to be broken. Shredded before humanity. I'm going to give my back to the smiter. How many of you ever saw the movie The Passion? That's pretty realistic of what happened. Pretty hard to watch. I mean, just the way he captured that. Who would do that for anybody? But love would do that for us. He allowed his body to be broken before us. Chastisement of our lack of peace. He went down to the scourging post and he held on for the chastisement of your and I's lack of peace. It wasn't just the situation we're going through, it was what harbored that he was after to break that forever and keep it out of your heart so the kingdom of God could come through. That's what he was saying. His body was about to be broken. I'm going to be broken for you. Remember this. Now watch this. Remember it. Verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the blood and body of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of this bread and drink of this cup. He that eateth, watch this, and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh condemnation to himself, not, look at this, discerning the Lord's body. Say it, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Because you come to the communion table with division, and I partly believe it, and you're not discerning the Lord's body, that body was broken for the very thing you're coming to the communion table with. And this cause sick and weakly among you because you've left an open door for the enemy. Because you haven't discerned that his body was shredded for you. And you drink this unworthily. Division. Betrayal. and the harboring of trespass in the heart. You're drinking unworthily. You're believing things. Sometimes even what you're harboring a lie. You don't even know the truth. You haven't even bothered to find out the truth. What amazes me is how quickly somebody can listen to somebody else and don't even know the truth and choose to believe it and receive the offense and get cut off. Said, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you. So today, everyone stand for a minute, if you would. Would you just close your eyes a minute? I'm going to ask you to examine your heart, but what I'm asking, I ask you God to do over the next 3 days to show you, because sometimes you're not going to see it right now. So Father, I ask over the next 3 days. Some of you are seeing it right now. For the rest of us, Father, we ask you for the light. For the light, for the spirit of wisdom and revelation and illumination that you would show us. If we are harboring anything in the past, harboring words, harboring offense, harboring trespass, harboring betrayal, harboring unforgiveness, harboring a situation we've never been freed of, Father, that you would open the eyes of our understanding. And today we approach the communion table by faith, but we thank you for the blood of Jesus that washes us and has given us an inheritance to come boldly to the throne of grace. And today we come to the throne of grace on the behalf of these people. On the behalf of the ones that have hurt, bruised. On behalf of the ones that have betrayed. On the behalf of the ones, the controversy and the divisions, knowing that you allowed your body to be broken for all humanity. We come to receive the healing that's in those stripes. By your stripes we're healed. For this cause many are sick and weak among you, but that is not us. We call ourselves healed, for today, Father, we choose to release from the heart the trespass. We choose to release knowing it has no authority in our life. I break the spirit of betrayal. I break the spirit of offense. I break the spirit of division forever. I break it and sever its cords. Father, I hold that person up before you, those people before you, and I bless them, and I receive the grace, I receive the atonement for the relationship, for both parties. I receive it into my heart. Wash us today, Lord. Cleanse us today, Lord. We relinquish, we release, and we let go. We choose no more of the harboring of trespass. We are forgiven and we forgive. I forgive and I am forgiven. I receive the atonement. I receive the healing. I receive the forgiveness. I receive the cleansing in the heart. I receive my heart being cleansed. Did you wash? Wash me. Everyone say, wash me. Wash my heart. I release them from the heart today. I release them from the heart. I release and I let go. I release and I let go. Whatever trespasses you remit will be remitted. Whatever trespasses you retain will be retained. We remit, we loose. Whatever we loose on the earth will be loosened. We choose from the heart to loose this situation. We loose this person. We loose what they did. We loose what they're doing. We loose the whole thing. And we receive grace, grace and more grace. We receive grace because you paid the price for it, Lord. You paid the penalty for it. We can freely receive healing. We can freely receive wholeness. We discern your body today that it was broken on our behalf. We discern your body. Make us whole, Lord. Make us whole. We're forgiven. God bless you today. Hallelujah.